Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yeah!
We're preaching on a message called Inappropriate. How many of y'all have been inappropriate in your lifetime? Just saying, inappropriate. So I was thinking, what are some of the inappropriate things you see people do or have done to you? And have you ever witnessed, or done, getting in someone's refrigerator, they get in your refrigerator, and they drink directly from your orange juice or your milk jug, and they put it back? That is so inappropriate. Ashton, the other day, used my toothbrush. That is completely inappropriate. We had some people over the other night, so we opened up a new carton of ice cream, and I watched somebody eat out of the carton. Not one spoonful. I could have understood that with a clean spoon. They went in three times. That is totally
inappropriate.
My kids say that me and Pastor David use too much PDA at home, and they think that we are inappropriate. I say that we're modeling a good marriage, or at least that's the excuse I use. We all have the reasons for the fact that we're inappropriate. We've all done inappropriate things, but that's not necessarily the kind of inappropriate, not exactly the kind of inappropriate I'm talking about today. Today I'm talking about the kind of inappropriate that maybe the people around you don't understand what you're doing. Maybe the people around you don't understand why you're doing it. But you know God has placed it in your heart to do this thing and to do it this way. And you're completely willing to be inappropriate. So let's turn with 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to tell you the story from verses 1 through 12. They'll try and keep up, but it'll be a lot better if you had your Bible with you and you open that up so you can keep up yourself and take some notes. You see, David, he had just become king. And they didn't have the glory. They didn't have the blessing. They didn't have the provision in their camp at their house. It had been stolen by the enemies. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody ever see that Indiana Jones movie? So you kind of get a little of idea of what it is. It's gopher wood. It's inlaid with gold. It's outlaid with gold. The power of God is in it. God actually resides in the box. This is pre-Jesus. This is old covenant. God wanted to be with his people so bad. He's like, I'm going to live in a box. It's going to be a really nice box, but I'm going to live in a box. So I can be with you. And human flesh can't handle that kind of power. The closest thing I could think of is lick your finger and put it in a 220 socket. Your body couldn't handle that power, right? But that doesn't do anything to the kind of power in this box with God. You can't touch the box. The box has rings on the outside of it. You put a stick through the rings and you hold the stick. You don't touch the box. So the box is where God lives. So the box is where the blessing is. So the box is where the provision is. The box is where the healing is, but the box is way across town somewhere else. So they have to go get it. I'm just wondering, anybody else here today, online, Facebook, other campuses, is anybody else today need the blessing at their house? Come on. So we need this blessing and we want this blessing. David wants the blessing, so he goes to get the blessing. And he said, I'm not going to treat this lightly. I'm going to take with me 30,000 men. Now, if you think about Busch Stadium in St. Louis, what's it hold? I've been told it holds 48,000 people. So 30,000 people, that's most of Busch Stadium. If most of Busch Stadium comes along with David and he's like, okay, we can't have some old broke-down cart, some 1972 Toyota jalopy carrying God. We need a new cart, right? So he's like, we get a new cart. We got 30,000 men. Oh, and I know every time we go along, you see, he's figuring out how to please God. On his own. He said, we're gonna praise him as we go along, and we're just going to worship him as we go along. So they go, they get the ark, they put it on the cart, they bring the guys, they bring the worshipers, they're walking along. And they almost made it. But then they hit a pothole, and God started falling off the cart. Uzzah's like, oh man, I can't let God hit the ground, I got to save God. And he gets up there and he tries to push the cart back, push the box back on the cart, but he can't handle the power of God, so he dies. And then David starts freaking out. He's like, man, I did everything I knew to do. I tried everything. And yet, I lost a friend. I want to ask you today, friends, have you been in a place in your life when you did everything that you knew to do, and it still didn't work out? Now, for some of us, that looks like, well, I went to church 3 out of 4 Sundays. I gave $25 instead of $20, and I signed up to serve. I mean, I haven't actually done it yet. That's the newbies. But some of us were like, I read every day, I prayed every day, I came to church. Every time the doors were open, I fasted, I prayed, and I didn't get it, God. What is it? That's where David was. So we're kind of in that same place of what he's feeling. You know, the thing is, we can't do what we think we should do. We have to do what God says we should do. And we have to do it how God tells us to do it. The problem with that is a lot of times we pick it up by what we see other people do or what we think, not necessarily by the word. Well, Sister Sarah was single, and so she fasted for 3 days, and then she got married. So I fasted for 6 days, and I didn't even get a date. What's the problem here? What's the problem here, God? What did I do wrong? Well, none of that's in the Bible. You see here, what I think the Bible says, kind of what David did, what I think we should do is this is what I think the Bible says. Now, you can't do what you think the Bible says. You can't do what somebody told you the Bible says. You got to get in the Word and you got to find out what God says. Amen? And then you do that. So David started doing his research. He pulled up the biblical Google of the time, right? He starts biblical Googling it and he's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And in 2 Samuel 6, verse 13, he says, what we're going to do is we're going to take 6 steps, everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're going to take 6 steps, and every 6 steps, we are going to sacrifice a bull. Well, David, that's too much. Oh, no. We're not stopping there. We're also going to sacrifice the fatted calf. Not that skinny one that was just born or the sick one over there. The one you fatted up that you're going to use at your next feast for your family. That one that you like, we're going to sacrifice the fatted calf. Well, David, this isn't appropriate. It's an inappropriate amount of gift to God. He said, oh, no, it's not only that. We're not just taking 30,000 men. We're taking all of the Israelites with us. So if I'm the pastor and I'm the one who's supposed to go over here and you guys are the Israelites and you're coming with us, David was supposed to dance with all his might every 6 steps and the Israelites were supposed to shout and blow trumpets every 6 steps. That is so excessive. I mean, I know they ask us to stand up and worship, and like, I just don't even know about all this. I feel so Catholic. They're like, stand up, sit down. I'm getting my squats in. I wonder, Faith Church, if it took an inappropriate amount of praise way too often for how you think you should do it. If that's what it took is a sweet savor to God, because see, when you do this for him and when you do this for him, he doesn't only hear it, he smells it as a sweet fragrance and he says, gosh, it's going deep down into my being. I can tell that my people love me. I can tell that they're worshiping me. I smell it. I can hear it. I can feel it. Would you be willing, Faith Church, to give God an inappropriate amount of praise? Thank you, Jesus. That's just so nice of you, Lord. I thought y'all were Cardinal fans. I was confused. Y'all just were like, oh, we struck out, lost the game. Awesome, thank you. Let's rephrase it in St. Louis terms. If we were in the 7th game of the World Series at Busch Stadium, and we were playing those stinking Kansas City Royals, we were in the 9th inning. It was the bottom of the 9th, and our team is up to bat. Everybody in St. Louis would be rally-towing it, and they'd be wanting to know who's coming up to the plate. Do we have a chance? They'd be encouraging that man. Come on, you can do it. You're in that place in your life right now, and instead of a man coming out from the dugout, God comes down from heaven, translates himself to the baseball diamond, and says, I got you. I got you. I want to know what kind of inappropriate praise would you give God? Some of y'all got it. Some of y'all too cool to get it. I hope you're comfortable here. I'm about to challenge you in your place. I hope you're comfortable here because you set the pace for what God's going to do for you. You give God this, you're going to be like, God, I need you too. He's going to be like, you see, we don't serve a God of action. We serve a God of reaction. We have to step out in faith and then God moves. If we just expect him to do something for us when we haven't done anything for him, it's just too much trouble to praise him. So I'm going to give y'all one more chance. Some of y'all came out all the way. Lots of y'all did good, but there's a few of y'all. I don't want you to miss this. You're not clapping for me. I'm just a jackass standing up here. That's what the Bible says. You see, Balaam had a donkey. The donkey is known as a jackass. The jackass talked and told Balaam what God was saying and what he needed to do. So when you clap, it's not for the speaker on the stage. When you clap, it's because there's a rhema word of God who flowed through whatever vessel it is and whatever form it took. And the rhema word is the word on the inside of you that we say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. It's getting so much better. It doesn't mean anything to me. It means everything to God. Oh, and I'm willing. Well, you're not doing anything up there. Oh, just give me half a second. We're not even to the good part of the story yet. Because in 2 Samuel 6, verse 14, they make it to the camp with the box. The blessing arrives at the camp. God appreciates the sacrifice. God appreciates the shouts. God appreciates the trumpets. God appreciates the dancing. And the blessing makes it all the way home. The promise arrives. And when the promise arrives, David doesn't go, oh man, I preached all day, I'm tired, I need to sit down. David doesn't say, oh man, I danced every six steps, I'm out, I did my part. David doesn't say, I served three services, so y'all take it from here. No, David got home and he saw the ark at the house. And the Bible says, then, after it was done, then, after he did it before God performed, then, after he did it as God performed, then, when he hadn't seen the promise and he did it anyway, then, when God actually showed up, he didn't quit. It said, David danced with all his might. He said, the promise is at my house. The blessing is in my life. My God has performed for me. My God has healed me. My God has provided for me. My God has blessed me. I love my Lord. I'm going to dance with all my might. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you. You don't look cool. I don't care what you think I look like. I care what I think God thinks I look like. Well, that's just inappropriate. I certainly hope so, because my God likes it when I make myself a fool for him. So I don't care what it takes. I'm going to worship him. That's too much. Okay, then we'll give it some more. We serve a too much God. He's exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. And in that scripture, it says David danced with all the might before the Lord. He danced his clothes off. I am inappropriately equipped in my outfit to demonstrate that today. I did dance my shirt tail out, and don't worry, I got layers on just in case it got crazy. I'm out of breath. I sound like one of those preachers. Jesus. I've done this four times this morning. Y'all think you're tired. You see, David danced with all his might, but he didn't dance till he was naked. He danced off the linen ephod. He danced off the prayer cloth. He danced off the princely robe. He danced off the kingly robe. And his wife, the woman he had to go home to and would probably wanted to kiss when he got there, looked out the window, Saul's daughter, brought up in the palace and taught to be appropriate. She said, David, you disgust me. You danced off your robes in front of the maids. And he said, sugar, if you don't like that, you're going to hate what's coming, because I am going to be even more vile and even more inappropriate than this. Because God's not done with me yet. Oh no, he's got more for me. And I'm going to praise him in advance. I'm going to praise him during, and I'm going to praise him after, girl. And I'm going to give him an inappropriate amount of praise. Are you willing to give God an inappropriate amount of praise? Now, what'd you just do? Because Faith Church, that set the bar. That's what a praise should sound like every time we give God a praise in his house. Why? Why do we have to do that? Because if we won't obey him and praise him in a wild manner in his house, what you going to do when you get out there? We don't serve a God that is a formula to be worked.
Well, if I tithe my 10% and then if I give $1 over that, now I'm giving and I can claim the giving blessing. And then if I go to church, because we're supposed to worship, come together and worship, then if I read my Bible in the morning and if I fast occasionally, the blessing's going to be there. So 2 + 2 + 2 = 6.
So when I want something, that's what I'll do. Mm-mm. God's not a formula. He's a God that's moved by action. Faith. Action. He wants you to step out on faith. It's not faith if it doesn't look a little bit inappropriate. Because faith stuff looks too big for you. Faith stuff looks too strong for you. Faith stuff looks just as scary to us. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. We'll get to that in 1 second. You see, because it's going through those doors that we really make a difference. We're the only God that people are going to see. The only Jesus, and honestly, I'm not happy with the representation of him that I am. Not yet. There's more than I can do. There's more than I can give. I can be kinder. I can be gentler. I can be more loving, especially in traffic. I gotta up my inappropriate game and be inappropriately loving, inappropriately kind, inappropriately giving, and inappropriately miracle working. We were walking through the Bahamas airport this week because we preached at a church there Wednesday night, and I got some hate on social media for God calling us to preach in the Bahamas this week. I'm like, it's not my fault he sent us somewhere nice. Nobody complains when he sends us to Detroit. So we went to this church, and we were there, and went to the airport Friday. And as we're in the airport, sure enough, the pastor and the campus pastor show up. And they said, pastors, you have no idea what's happening. Our church had this word that it's deposited us. It's exploding. It's on fire. He said, the entire island is on fire. Yeah. I like you so much. First one to clap. How old are you? First one to clap, an 11-year-old boy sitting front and center. God liked that, by the way. What's your name? Hey, you got 20 bucks? I got a wallet right there. Get 20 bucks out of my wallet. Give it to Monroe.
Eduardo.
Give it to Eduardo. Eduardo needs 20 bucks.
Why'd you do that? Why'd you pay him?
No, God just prompted my heart to bless that kid. You just obey.
That's inappropriate.
Well, I sure hope so. Give him another 20. I owe you 40 bucks. You just do what he says do. So we're in the airport, and God says to David to pray for him. So as they're trying to tell us what's going on the island, David just grabs him on the shoulders. I grab him on the shoulders. We make this big prayer circle in the airport. People are walking by going, I don't know what those people are doing. Oh. God bless them. God put them on fire. God give them courage. Give them strength. Help them plant campuses. Help them to reach new territory. Just praying over them. Ah, you know, because Pastor Dave's not subtle. Neither am I. So we were just praying. Get done, go through the little security deal, and get on the other side. And this guy's got a vest on, and he obviously works there. He's in a uniform. So we're walking out, head to our aircraft. My husband goes, excuse me, sir. Puts his hand on his shoulder. Random airport worker dude. I think that's his official title. He says, excuse me, sir. God just spoke to me. And he told me, and he said what God said. And tears start running down the airport worker's face. He said, God spoke that to me in my prayer time yesterday, and I asked him to confirm it, and here you are confirming what God has told me. Come on, somebody. If Pastor David had been afraid of being inappropriate, of what that man would have thought, of what somebody else would have thought, he wouldn't have delivered the word that that guy needed. Everybody say, it's okay to be inappropriate for God. Stir up that inappropriate gift on the inside of you. 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Literally translated, it says, excite the gift. It says, hey, wake up. It says, awaken that gift on the inside of you. And several other versions, they don't say stir up the gift. The NIV, the NLT, the Amplified, they don't say stir up the gift. They actually say to fan the flame. You see, God's given you faith as a grain of mustard seed. He's putting a fire of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. But it's going to be this little tiny fire and this little tiny seed unless we fan that flame. Unless we stir it up. So I want you to make an outward sign of an inward decision. Huh? I want you to go like this, and I want you to stir it up. Come on, stir it up. If we're going to stir, we need some music. Evan, you got any music back there? Bob Marley, stir it up. See, we acted like that was an accident, but that was planned. Da. Okay, we're going to stir till everybody stirs, so we can be here for 6 years, 4 hours, or about the next 10 seconds. Let's see. Is everybody stirring? I don't see everybody stirring. We just going to wait. We just going to wait. Come on. Why? Why are you making me stir? Because if you won't do this in here, you're not going to do that out there. You just got to go ahead and yield to God. I'm uncomfortable. That's okay. Be a little bit inappropriate. If somebody wanted to do, they could stand up and dance. Come on. There you go. Come on. You got this. You need to be on the dance team. I'm just saying. Come on. That's it. That's it. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Wake up the gift of God. Flam the gift of God. Encourage the gift of God. Rekindle the gift of God. Stir it up. Stir it up. Why? Why are we going to stir that up? Because the next scripture says, and I remind you to stir up the gift of God by the laying on of hands. Why? For God has not given you a spirit of fear. Oh, see, you know this scripture. But this scripture is about that scripture. Fear of what? Fear of stirring up the gift. Fear of being inappropriate. Fear of stepping out in faith. God has not given you a spirit of fear to do what he called you to do, but he's given you power. And he's given you love. And he's given you a sound mind. God's going to give you everything you need to be the inappropriate you that he called you to be. But we got to be willing. You were born an original, don't die a copy. Don't die being what everybody else is. If you want what everybody else has, you do what everybody else does. If you want what they don't have, you got to do what they aren't willing to do. Come on, somebody. That's what Growth Track is for. Week three is all about this right here. It's about discovering your purpose. We give you a personality profile. We help you assess your spiritual gifts. We try and put you in touch with what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. Because you know what? It's those very things that are strong about you that you don't even like. But I'm so loud and brassy, and I talk to anybody. I'd talk to a wall if it was there. God says, you don't like it. I want to use it. I'm scared of people. I don't even like to talk to people. I prefer to work with numbers and a computer. You don't like it. God wants to use it. You know, I can't talk to adults. I'm just great with kids. I wish I could be surrounded by kids and puppies. You don't like it. God wants to use it. That very thing that's unique, that's weird, that's awkward, that's inappropriate about you, and you want to stuff it down and get it stuck down in your soul somewhere. Your purpose isn't to be a carbon copy and be what everyone else is. We don't need more of what we have. We need you to be that weird, wild, unique, inappropriate you that God gifted just this way so he can use that gift that's on the inside of you. And the world's going to try and tell you, don't do it. Don't be you. Whatever you do, the world's going to tell you to live like them. But God is telling you to live like he called you to be. Y'all ever heard of Daniel in the lion's den? What is it? Daniel 6. Daniel 6 tells the story of it. You see, kind of how he got there was he was one of the top 3 guys in the nation.
So like a vice president, secretary of state, secretary of defense. So there's the king, but then there's these three guys. He's one of the three guys. And all these guys down here, they did not like it. So they were chatting at him. Be real careful listening to the people down here because the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. Feel free to block people on your social media anytime you want to block them, because I heard somebody say one time, I didn't say it, but somebody said, social media gives every idiot a pen. Don't let them lead your life. Let God lead your life. So they were down here hating on Daniel, and the king made a decree because these people told him to, and they're like, hey, what we should do is we should make a decree that anybody who doesn't worship your God, king, for the next 30 days, we should put them in the lion's den. He's like, sounds great to me, whatever. Well, they knew that was going to get Daniel. Daniel wasn't afraid to be inappropriate. He went straight home, he closed the door, but he opened the windows. And he got down on his knees and he said, oh God, I'm going to praise you just as loud, just as strong, and at the same time I ever did ever before. I'm not worried about what they say and I'm not worried about what they're going to do to me. So they picked him up and they threw his little tail in the lion's den. Sometimes it looks like things got a lot worse because we did what God said. But God's got a purpose. He's going to use it if we won't give up. So he stayed there all night long and the lions didn't need him. In the morning, the king said, Daniel, are you down there? Pulled him out of the lion's den. And he said, I cannot believe your God gave you safe all night long. All those guys who accused you, throw them in the lion's den. And sure enough, he threw them in the lion's den, and they got eaten right away. The king said, let this be a sign, and I make a new decree. Anyone who doesn't worship the God of Daniel, the one true God, let them be thrown into the lion's den. He used one inappropriate behavior on Daniel's behalf to change an entire nation. What is God wanting to do through you? Who is God wanting to change? Whose heart is God wanting to touch? What community, what neighborhood, what school, what nation is hinging on the fact that you're going to be inappropriate for Jesus? But the world's going to give you pressure. And sometimes it's not these guys. Sometimes it's your family. There's this guy, I think it was 2002 or so. He started coming to our church. And he was drinking, he was drugging, he was staying out all night. And his family was like, you got to change your life. You got to clean up. You got to change your life. You got to clean up. And he tried and he failed and he tried and he failed and he tried and he failed. And he got to church. And sure enough, God can clean you up the way the world can't do it. And he got strong and he got solid and he was grounded in the word and he was coming Sunday morning and Sunday night we had a service. It was a different message. And Tuesday night he was coming. And all this was happening and his family's like, okay, so you were off the deep end and we wanted you to clean up, but now you're like too far into this Jesus thing. You need to back out, bro. You need to back out. He said, I can't. I need to do this. Matter of fact, he made a vow to God one time and he said, God, for 30 days I am not going to miss a service no matter what happens. I vow to you. The family found out and they said, hey, we just scheduled Dad's 50th birthday party on a Sunday afternoon in another city, so you're going to have to miss church so you can come. He said, guys, you're going to have to move that party. I can't miss church. They said, no, you're not going to miss your dad's 50th birthday party. And he said, I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to break my vow to God. They couldn't believe it. They're like, you need to call your brother in the military in Korea. Put him on the phone. He called his brother, who talked like a military man. He's like, what are you bleeping bleep doing, man? Don't be a bleep. He's like, your bleeping dad is going to bleep 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 you if you don't get your bleeping act in order, man. Don't make dad do this bleeping thing. He said, I'm sorry. I got to follow God. So he follows God. Family gives him all this trouble. 2004, Pastor David and I become senior pastors. In 2005, we decide to start a student ministry, and we need a volunteer to handle it on Wednesday nights. So we ask this guy to start handling it, and he's preaching to all the students on Wednesday nights. Well, we start another campus at our city, and we need somebody there. So now he starts doing it there, too. So he does Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. He has a full-time job. His family's like, seriously, you have got to get a grip. Well, somehow it took us until 2011 to hire Pastor Phil. Yeah. God brought him out of the secular world. He put him into ministry. He became the student pastor, and then he became the campus pastor, and then he became the executive pastor, and then he's on the weekend speaking team. And all of a sudden, God is making Pastor Phil's voice affect thousands of people. Some little guy who just made a vow and wouldn't break it. And it was about 2 years ago that his brother retired from the military, Mr. Bleep, Bleep, Bleep. And he called Phil, he said, I'm retiring from the military. And I took a job as an executive pastor at a church. God's calling you to change your family. God's calling you to change their hearts. God's calling you to change their world. But are you willing to be inappropriate? 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You're supposed to be peculiar. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be all of those things that you're so nervous to be. But don't praise him here. Praise him here. Don't be scared to pray for him. Don't be scared to pray for people. Don't be scared to step out. Don't be scared to do what he tells you to do.
Well, you talked about Daniel and King David and Pastor Phil, but you didn't talk about any, like, Jesus. Jesus wouldn't be inappropriate.
Really? Because he allowed a prostitute to cry on his feet and wash his feet with her hair and break perfume, the wages of a year, over him. Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman at the well. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. He did it. He hung out with tax collectors, sinners, the scum, the seedy people. They didn't like it. It was inappropriate. But Jesus did it. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. That was so inappropriate, they crucified him for it. Jesus was not afraid to be inappropriate in the world's eyes because it pleased the Father. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you right now, I don't care where you are, if you're on TV, Facebook, online, Sunset Hills, any of our campuses. If there's a step you know you were supposed to take, God's been pressing on you, and you've been nervous, you've been scared, you thought maybe it was inappropriate or too much or what your family might say, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you right now? Father God, I pray for an inappropriate amount of courage and an inappropriate amount of strength and an inappropriate amount of faith and an inappropriate amount of favor to come on them right now to do this thing that you have called them to do and help them to excel, help them to rise to the top. God, I ask you to open doors of opportunity for them to walk through these spaces, God. They're nervous to take that step, but God, as they take that step, make the ground beneath them firm and support them through this thing, God, so that they can change the nation, the state, the families, the hearts in the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Does anybody have an inappropriate praise for our God? Yeah.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.